¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgi Martin, and I'm joined by my primos, Ricky Torres and Hector Reyes. Hey, boys.
What's up? How's it going? What's up, guys?
Hey, what are we drinking today, boys?
Oh, man. I'll start it off. I got a little bit of the Society IPA. It's called The Pupil out of San Diego. If you have a chance to get at the Society Brewing Company, shot to Society Brewing out in San Diego. Just fantastic stuff. They're right outside of Miramar. Amazing stuff. Get out there if you can. Society.
Well, I'm having a Full Circle Brewing Company, Illa Vanilla. It's a milkshake IPA and is absolutely delicious. I am loving it right now.
Nice.
Wow. Unfortunately, I'm lactose intolerant. It makes my stomach hurt hearing vanilla shake.
I'm pretty sure it's just the hops that make it. But yeah, I can see what you mean.
Well, speaking of hops, guys, we had a good time with the top 10 running backs in our last episode. And, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, the entire exercise just made me really want to be with a top five pick. It worries me to think what's coming after.
Right.
I don't know. I kind of like the late ones. For me personally, I like looking at the running backs and being like, all right, who's going under their average draft position? Who, like, can make me good value? Kind of like Derrick Henry last year.
Right. So
I love, like, the 8s through 13s because there's some hidden gems there that could easily be in the top five.
For sure. Some of those might be rookies. You know, those rookies, you know, you don't really expect them. Okay. They usually start the season out ranked pretty low, and then after a couple games, they blow up, and, you know, you wish you would have taken them earlier. So definitely some diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, we may be talking about some of those guys today. We may be talking about some guys who are a little bit scary to take, at least as of now in May. But, you know, there's something else that's kind of scary out there. And, you know, we all know the Mexican leyendas, you know, leyendas de México that, you know, gosh, 40 years after I was a little kid, I'm still kind of freaked out by some of this stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, so when you have to pick that running back that you're not sure about, you know, I worry like those days back as a kid. You know, I don't think we need to rank them, but, you know, what are some of the ones that I'm going to start. La Llorona was the one that scared me the most. Mis hijos,
she's the number one pick, right?
She's my number one pick for the one that freaked me out the most. I still remember being in fourth grade, sitting at a table with a couple other kids. It was just a kind of a break in the action. And one of the kids brought up La Llorona, saying that, you know, that she knew people who saw her walking through San Fernando Mission Cemetery. And no lie, like, as we're talking, you know, a big yardstick, that big plastic yardstick that if it would have hit you, it would have hurt, fell from a shelf and fell right next to me and a kid sitting right across from me. And we were freaked out. We're like, it was La Llorona. So we stopped talking immediately, man. Oh, just stopped talking immediately about her.
Supernatural, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, exactly.
I got a story, you know, a chony changer as well. My dad would tell me, you know, my dad too, when I was a kid, you know, my dad grew up in San Nicolás de Ibarra in Jalisco, not too far from Guadalajara. And he told me a story of, I don't know if she had a name. All I remember is that he told me that she was the lady in white, and that, you know, guys would see her through, you know, in town. You know, back then there's not really, you know, when, you know, at nighttime, I don't know how much electricity there was. And, you know, you're in a little pueblo, you know, there's not really lights going on, you know, throughout the nighttime. So it's pretty dark at night, you know, guys walking around on their horses and whatnot. And my dad would say that guys would talk about it. You know, they're out, you know, 1-2 in the morning. There's this lady in white, just in this white dress, just walking, not making any sound, not saying anything, just walking in this white dress. And the guys would just freak out about it. No one would approach her. Everyone would just kind of freak out and go home and talk about it. But, you know, my dad told me, and to this day, I get kind of like, you know, the hair stands up in the back of your neck when you think about that. He would tell me that, you know, it's true. You know, he told me that my grandfather saw her, and that she was real. And this stuff is no joke, for real. The Kukui, I think, is up next. What do you know about those, Rick?
El Cucuy, all I know is it's that's the name of the guy on the Mexican radio channel, right? I mean, other than that, I know it's the boogeyman. Right. My parents used to tell my little brother to watch out for El Cucuy, and every time he'd be misbehave in the car, they'd tell him when we're driving through L.A. right by the 110, there's like this tunnel you got to go through, and they'd tell him, look, El Cucuy, El Cucuy. And, like, he'd look in through the windows. He'd get all scared. It would be hilarious. It was really cute. But I think that was, like, torture on the little guy.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was freak show. That was freak show for a little kid to think that the – and, you know, the leyenda was that the El Cucuy would get kids. And it was kids who misbehaved. I mean, that's better than Santa Claus to get kids to be better, to be good.
That's the worst kind of discipline, you know, us being Latinos, I think our parents and grandparents, that's pretty, you know, thinking back, that's pretty damn mean, you know what I mean? Like, we're like 3, 4, 5 years old, and they're telling us these, like, just the most scary stories, you know, and we're just, like, shaking in our boots, and just, like, it was for discipline, for the most part. They're, you know, make sure you're a good boy, because, you know, the cuckoo is going to come and get you, but Jesus, this stuff is like PTSD, man, for real.
Yeah, we're all examples of it. Oh, and then there was El Chamuco. That one was almost comical, though.
What is
just
that?
The name. That's another name for the devil.
Okay. Diablo.
Yeah, I was just like, I mean, to me, all I needed to hear was El Diablo, and that straightened me up. Right. So you don't want El Diablo to come. No quieres el Diablo que te agarre. So yep. So I'm like, no, that was enough for me. And who else heard about the Bloody Mary one?
That's the one that I'm most familiar about. I remember being in elementary school, and we used to dare each other to go into the bathroom, turn off the lights, and go in for the mirror and say
the closet.
It.
Yep.
And no one ever did it. No one ever wanted to do it, because the story is that when you do it, you're all of a sudden going to see a lady who's covered in blood. But Georgia, when you were telling me about it, I was like, oh, that's who it's supposed to be.
Yep. that was just freaky. I remember being at a party where some kids said they saw her, and I was like, no way. I would not go into that bathroom and close the door, even with the lights on. So I was just like, I think I probably had to hold it or something after that, the rest of that night.
Yeah, and then rounding out our top six picks of leyendas and scary Mexican folklore is the chupacabra, and that's the one. The crazy part about the chupacabra is that there's actually scientific. We got pictures and whatnot, and evidence of, you know, cows and goats and stuff like that that have had the blood sucked completely out of them. Farmers and ranchers, they find their animals just like a vampire animal just goes and sucks every drop of blood out of these animals. So chupacabra, I believe, for real, because there's evidence of that. So I'm not messing around with that.
It's like the one that I, out of everything in my life, it's the one thing I want to be real. I don't care about the Loch Ness. I don't care about Bigfoot. Chupacabra, please. I live in the desert. I was like, yeah, it'd be nice if it finally got to know us. Because I remember hearing all the stories. It's a hairless dog with big teeth sucking on goats. But I would love for it to be real. I think, I don't know about the scientific evidence you talk about, heck, but that makes this legend even better.
It's on the internet, so it must be true.
I might change my fantasy team name to the Las Chupacabras. So, you know, since, you know, I have the same kind of haircut as the Chupacabra.
It's definitely scary. You know who my, was last year as far as drafting running backs was Le'Veon Bell. He was someone who I was scared to draft.
Yeah, and he attacked for sure. If you drafted him, he killed you, right?
He definitely definitely drowned me the whole season. So that one was a nightmare. That one still haunts me.
Talking about nightmares. Well, so we're getting into Cheese Man, right? We're going to get into some Cheese Man here, talking about nightmares scenarios.
Yeah,
all
right. Before we get into, Cheese Man time. Cheese Man.
Cheese Man. Cheese Man.
And I don't think there's anything better than a good Instagram war, isn't it, guys?
Oh, my God. Devontae Parker and Michael Thomas. If you guys have been following this, I've been watching it. It's very amusing and entertaining. I just don't know when you're Michael Thomas and you're Devontae Parker trying to throw jabs at Michael Thomas. I don't really know what the point of that is. I don't see, you know, Michael Thomas is just a stud. He's a G. Devontae Parker throwing jabs at him. And for those who don't know, go ahead and Google it. They had an Instagram feud, and Devontae Parker is talking about how Michael Thomas is only good because Drew Brees throws the ball to him 200 times a game. And Michael Thomas comes back and says, don't blame the QB, blame your parents for, you know, if you're not good at football. And, oh my God. It's classic, just classic Twitter war, and it's some great sports entertainment during this time of not so much sports. So for sure. Good stuff.
Do you happen to know if they play this year? Dolphins versus Dolphins. I highly doubt it, but if they do, it'd be a heck of a game to put on our schedule.
Yeah.
That one, I'm gonna see if I can look that up right now. Let me look up the team. I loved that Michael Thomas went scoreboard on him and just called him out.
Sometimes you just have to.
They don't play.
Called him first rounder and everything, and you know, call it the fact that Devontae Parker didn't really do anything till like the last half of this past season, coincidentally just in time for him to get paid. And Michael Thomas, all he's done is ball out since he stepped on
exactly
the first game. God, and you know, how do you go against the guy who just set the record for the most receptions in a season?
You can't do it. And Devontae Parker, even he has less to talk about because AJ Brown jumped into the league last year. Ryan Tannehill hit him a bunch of times. He had some pretty solid numbers for a rookie. AJ Brown did. Why couldn't Devontae Parker do that with Tannehill? No one talked about Devontae Parker doing pretty much anything with Tannehill, but you know, the buzz is out there for AJ Brown and Tannehill this year on the Titans. So Devontae Parker, yeah, he definitely
is. Hyper Parker. The only time they're going to see the Saints is in preseason week 3. So Devontae Parker is never going to have to prove himself in front of Michael Thomas. It's just all bark. He got no bite.
Yeah, no bite.
Yeah, unless they get to the Pro Bowl. So, which I'll bet on Michael Thomas being in the Pro Bowl.
All not day. All day.
I don't know about Devontae Parker. But...
yeah, that's justice right there.
Yeah, I love that seat at the table comment. Anybody out there, whoever's listening, please look at that line, and it's a classic.
Awesome,
it's a classic. You know, speaking of trying to get a seat at the table. Yeah, classics. It's some running backs gone by have been getting some love from, not necessarily love, but they're getting some attention. So, Rick, what do you make of these?
You know, I mean, it's the Seahawks are talking to Devontae Freeman, LeSean McCoy, Carlos Hyde. It's interesting because Chris Carson, although he's like the workhorse of the team, the guy, it wouldn't be too bad to get one of these guys. You saw what Penny was able to do behind Carson, and they like to do the whole thunder and lightning bit. So if they can get someone fast like Freeman or McCoy or Hyde, I think they'd be onto something. And you know what? They're not going to play that much anyways. I love Freeman, but I think he's just done being the number one.
I
think he's the perfect, kind of like how Darren Sproles was when the Chargers were really good. I think that's exactly what these three guys would do for the Seahawks behind Chris Carson, but who knows?
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised when I looked at Carlos Hyde's numbers. He got 1,000 yards last year. That was the quietest 1,000 yards ever.
Right? I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably the ugliest too.
I doubt it looked pretty. Speaking of ugly, let's talk Josh Rosen's career at this point.
Oh, no. Poor Josh Rosen. No one wants him. Actually, I mean, I don't know. It looks like it because I guess apparently teams are asking the Dolphins about him. Who's been asking about him? Have you guys heard anything more than that?
Just that teams have been asking. So nobody has been. We know it's not Arizona. So.
Yeah, but what does that mean? I mean, he nothing in Arizona, nothing but Miami. What do we lend that to? I mean, you know, we saw
it's
Jared Goff.
Of Tua, guys, it's because of Tua. People probably think, hey, this guy was the number 10 overall pick 2 years ago. Let's get him on discount because they don't want to use Rosen anyways. You have Tua. Right. So, I mean, why not?
You know, if he gets, I'd love to see him get into a consistent situation with a good quarterback coach who develops him. And, you know, who knows, get him somewhere. I mean, he's not going to go to New Orleans because they've got a pretty full boat. But, you know, maybe the Rams to back up Goff for a while. you know what? Get him into a McVay offense.
Right.
You know, they did that with Blake Bortles. I don't know where he ended up. Get him with a good quarterback coach.
Bad luck, guys. Yeah. I mean, he's being replaced by Kyler Murray and Tua. It's just that if both of them can be at their prime, all three of them, Rosen's number three. So.
But was it that bad? I mean, he was the number 10 overall pick two drafts ago. So is it just – so, you know, what do we lend that to? What's the reason that Josh Rosen has fallen so far from grace?
He's just the talent average is now a lot higher than when Rosen came. Like I said, it's Kyler Murray and Tua. How many – and you have Mahomes, you have Jackson. Just football's moving faster than he is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So he's still got value. It's just teams like being fast right now.
That's a good point.
He's got talent. You know, he's had some injuries. I'd love to see him get in as a backup and learn from somebody. He's still young. He's still just 23. I was a fan, obviously. You know, I've admittedly that I'm a Bruin fan, so maybe
God bless but, you.
Yeah, so I thank you Bruno, I appreciate it. I needed that. But I'd love to see him I just want to see talent get utilized, and he wouldn't be the first guy who bounced around a little bit and then, you know, kind of found himself on his second or third team. I always think about like Jim Plunkett or Steve DeBerg or even Rich Gannon later days. So you never know. Hey, who knows? Maybe he'll end up at the Raiders.
Right. I mean, is this just what happens with UCLA Bruin quarterbacks? I mean, I remember Cade McNown coming out of college, same thing, like, oh, this guy's going to be great. And, you know, nothing. When's the last time, you know, a Bruin quarterback outside of, you know, Troy Aikman did something, you know, magical in the NFL, did something, you know, incredible in the NFL? I don't really remember it outside of Troy Aikman. And, you know, Josh Rosen obviously is not that guy either, so.
I think Tommy Maddox had 1 year coming in for somebody injured, and he played great. And then he was the starter the next year, and then he fell flat on his face. And I think that's what ended up leading to Big Ben.
So UCLA QBs. I mean, I think that's the that's their Achilles heel. I guess it is what it is. This is what it is. UCLA QB. You're not going to do much in the NFL. It's just kind of like you're set to that, I guess.
It's the Aikman curse.
The Aikman curse.
Well, you know, Jarvis Landry seemed to be cursed getting a hip surgery in February, but now he's calling himself ahead of schedule. Ricky, you're our medical guy. Do you listen to people saying they're ahead of schedule when it's not the doctor saying that?
Oh, heck no. I mean, I've seen it way too many times where they come back early and they're just slower, because what happens is you're less likely to rely on that side of the injury, which is going to start making certain muscles you don't use normally on the other side of the injury start working extra just because you're being light on it. So usually what it means is that they get another type of injury. And usually a lot of medical experts can even tell you, look, if they come back early from like a right calf injury, they're going to end up having like a left thigh injury or something.
Exactly.
So exactly. I just think, you know what? Ain't no reason to do anything. His team sucks anyways. Just sit back.
I was gonna say the same thing. The Browns aren't gonna do much again. I don't think this year. Baker Mayfield. We've talked about this almost ad nauseum. I'm not looking at that offense at all. So I wouldn't be looking at Landry or anybody else. Maybe Chubb, but not too much going on the Browns offense for me this year.
I'd love to get OBJ at a discount. I don't know if that'll happen because he's still in there.
Yeah, you probably will.
All right. Thank you. I'll take him in the third round. Just mark it down.
There you go. You know?
But Jarvis Landry, I'm gonna keep an eye on it. He's great. He bless him. He gets a lot of balls when he's on the field. but I just don't know if I don't know if he's going to get on the field in early September like he thinks he will.
Right.
When you say 6 to 8 months, that's August to October. So I'm going to follow it on during training camp. But yeah, I'm not going to move him up on my draft rankings anytime soon.
Right. And if someone is injured, you know that Rick's going to probably draft them because that's what Rick does. Rick's the medical guy that if you're on, you know, you're injured and you have a, you know, you're coming into the season with some kind of injury, Rick will draft you. So that's
what I love. Those discounted players. You should see my fantasy baseball team. I got like 7-8 injured people, but hey, that's what I predicted because of the virus. So half of those people are back.
There you go.
They're going to be fine in July.
They eventually get healthy. That's Rick's mantra. They eventually will come back.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I know we're worried and I know we're knocking on wood. So we're going to be knocking on wood for these next players. We had a tie at number 20. So we're actually going to go to 11. We're starting off with Leonard Fournette, who actually tied Austin Eckler for number 10. So we wanted to keep it at 10 there. You know, Hector, what do you make of him for this year?
Gosh, man, I remember watching Leonard Fournette play at LSU, and I was such a fan of his. And I mean, if you remember him playing at LSU, the guy was just a monster, and everybody was talking him up, how he was such a beast. Going to the Jags, and in the beginning he did well, and now, you know, he's been just stuck with the injury bug. You know, last year he only had 3 total touchdowns, and 1,152 yards. But you know, I'm gonna temper my expectation a little bit with Fournette. I'll probably pass on him this year. But if you guys want to take him, go ahead. I'm that guy that sometimes I kind of, you know, to a fault, will lean towards a guy's injury history. That's what I do. Fournette with his injury bug, I'll probably pass on him. But you know, I don't doubt that he'll have a good year. I'm just, from a fantasy standpoint, I'm not looking at Leonard Fournette this year.
Ooh, I'm just like, gimme, gimme, gimme. Dude is a workhorse. He's the Kyle for the team. I know that. I believe he's on his last year, so he's in a contract year. So if they let him have the rock, he's gonna do good things with it. I mean, you saw him in college. You saw him when he first came out. What sucked is that he only had 3 rushing touchdowns and the same amount of receiving touchdowns as championships that Georgia has in the league. 0. So, I mean, but he was number 6 in the league as far as rushing yards because he had 1,152. And as far as receiving yards, he was also in like the top 5 or 10, something like that. So he's money. He's going to get the ball. The team, I mean, he did that on a crappy team. And I think they're going to be somewhat the same. Maybe they'll learn a little bit more with Minshew. But I don't know. I think Leonard Fournette's sneaking. If you can pick him up, definitely pick him up. Don't be like Heck. Please don't be like that.
If I get him super late or at a good value, you know, I'll look at him. Obviously, every player has, you know, as much as you're poo-pooing certain players, if they drop far enough, sure, you can pick him up as a great value pick. But you know, I'm pretty sure he'll get scooped up before I'm looking at him as a value number.
I'd like him as my second running back, but I would back him up with another running back after that because I just worry about the injuries. Ricky, I agree with you though on the fact that he's playing for a contract this year. I think there's going to be a little bit of incentive to avoid the franchise tag. He probably won't. You know, there's talk about him getting traded. I don't know if that's going to happen because they don't really have anybody behind him, and I think they're still going to go for it, at least with trying to get as much out of him as possible. I think they're going to wear him out, and I'd be happy getting 1,152 yards and 76 receptions again. That's a total of almost 1,700 total yards. I'd take that. I'd take that in the second or third round. So I'll do that. I wouldn't pick him as my number one. I've been burned too much by his leg injuries in the past.
Yep.
And you know what? And I feel like he's not as scary as, you know, we were talking about earlier. I think the next person on the list is someone who's a lot more scarier right now if you're going to be drafting, and that's Kenyon Drake. What do you guys think of him?
I'm not afraid of Kenyon Drake.
Really?
You know, no, I'm not at all. I you know, yeah, he came from Miami before.
He's got a lot of risk. I think he's risky.
I don't know. I like, you know, I'm gonna probably try to get myself some stock in Drake in you know, different leagues that I'm in. You know, looking back at it, what did he do at Miami, or what kind of offense was he in on the Dolphins? You know, I think that kind of stunted his growth a little bit, being on the Dolphins. And then he comes into the Cardinals last year and just like, oh my God, is the guy just like, you know, no one had any idea that Kenyon Drake would do what Kenyon Drake did last year coming to the Cardinals. And yeah, I have no qualms. I have no problem with thinking that he won't do that again this year. So yeah, I'm all over Drake. I love me some Kenyon Drake.
I knew one guy who just, I don't know how, he claimed he knew, he was a business owner, so he claimed he knew the head coach for Arizona. And he was trying to trade everybody for Kenyon Drake. I believe he tried getting rid of David Johnson. Wow. And the league vetoed his trade because they're like, that's an unfair trade. That's unfair. And he's all like, screw you guys. I know what's about to happen. Let me have Drake. And he was so mad when Kenyon Drake finally blew up for Arizona.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Guy was so mad. He's all like, I'm leaving the league. This is bullcrap. Obviously, he didn't use that language.
Obviously, it wasn't that foul as what you just said.
I mean, the thing is, there are no trades that should never be disallowed. If somebody wants to do something, they should do it. Kenyon Drake, the thing with him is, I think he's going to get overdrafted. In that, I think a lot of people are going to be expecting the Cardinals to come up and be and jump into, you know, the top five offenses, and they think Drake will be what David Johnson was in 2016 when he went for like 2,000 total yards and 20 touchdowns. You know,
a totally different team now.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with him is he this year's Derrick Henry. That were the guy who had a big second half and all of a sudden doesn't have a lot of competition. I know Chase Edmonds had one breakout game that pissed everybody off. But I think Kenyon Drake is going to be a guy that if everything works right for Arizona, I think he's 1200 yards and right. Like 1200 rushing yards and like 500 passing yards.
See, but I think you get Kenyon Drake, you get Chase Edmonds right after. Not right after, but you make sure to get Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, a little handcuff. I think here's what I think. I don't have a problem with thinking that the Arizona Cardinals this year are going to do what the Chiefs did a couple of years ago with, you know what, you want to pick up whoever you can from the Cardinals offense a couple of years back, or even now, really. It's like, you know what, grab whoever you can in the Chiefs offense. I don't have a problem with grabbing whoever I can in the Cardinals offense. You know, with Kyler Murray, you got DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, you got Fitz, and now you have Kenyon Drake. So they have a perfect puzzle, you know, put together. Arizona's defense is solid. You know, they get a lot of sacks. They put pressure on the QBs. They're going to be on the field a lot. Their offense is going to be on the field a lot, I think, this year. I don't have any problem.
Yeah, their offense is going to be good. Their one offense we don't know much about how they're going to be good is the Bengals. Joe Mixon. You know Joe Mixon. Talk to me, Primo. Talk to me.
What do you say, Rick?
Let us know.
I mean, only good thing Joe Mixon has for him is the fact that he's turning 24 this year.
Is that it?
That's it. I mean, so what? He blew up a little bit at the end of last season, but. He's scary too. It's like, I don't want him on my, I had him on my team last year. I hated it. Like, I'm not going to wait till I'm out of the playoffs to be able to enjoy him getting 100-yard games. I don't think just because Burrow's coming or, I forget who their rookie wide receiver is, but I mean, it's, I don't know.
No, T. Higgins.
I don't want anything to do with that experiment of a team.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think I'm right there with you. My question marks with rookie quarterbacks, same thing. Yeah, how is Joe Burrow going to do with the offense? And obviously, when you have a rookie at QB, that's completely going to affect the running game, especially and especially if they get behind in games. If the game script comes out that way where the Bengals are behind, they're not going to run the ball. He's going to be throwing the ball out to T. Higgins and to A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd and John Ross. And Mixon is not going to get the rock. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. I'm going to temper my expectation with Joe Mixon. And if he's a value pick, maybe later down, you know, in later rounds. But, I'm going to watch on Joe Mixon.
I do have a sentimental spot in my heart for Joe Mixon because he helped me win a championship in 2018.
That goes a long way for fantasy. It does.
That does go a long way.
I don't win often.
Hey, that was a tough league. That was a 14-teamer. So we played 12 in La Familia. But I think the fact that Joe Mixon kind of salvaged his season there at the end, kind of hopefully his momentum carries over. I'm fingers crossed, ojalá, that their offensive line is going to be better. I'm not expecting it because they didn't get any of the big offensive linemen early on. I wouldn't mind Joe Mixon being my second running back or my flex guy if maybe go running back.
Right.
I would be really, really, really scared. La Llorona scared if he was my so.
No, that's a good point. And, you know, going back to what I said earlier about rookie QBs, one thing that they do is they do use their running backs as a safety valve, kind of quick dump offs when they're feeling that pressure. They look for that RB for a quick dump off, a quick screen pass. And yeah, that could work for Joe Mixon to grab, you know, to get some yards in chunks. So that could definitely be something, like you said, as a flex or maybe in a as a later round pick, you know, that definitely might work out.
He is ugly, scary. and just El surprised Cucuy. I'm surprised where we have him when I look at the guy who's right behind him, Chris Carson, the Caballo of the Seahawks, the guy who was number 5 in rushing yards last season. It's like, what are you guys scared of? The hip fracture?
Yes. I'm the guy scared of injuries. Injuries are my La Llorona. So if a guy's coming in with injury or the injury history, I'm definitely afraid. Generally afraid.
I just think all they're gonna do is maybe go a little bit lighter on him, not give him the full payload. That's why they're talking to all these, you know, the viejos that we talked about earlier. But it's like, what's not to love about Chris Carson? I looked at it. He was like 29th. In receiving yards, like 220, but to get 1,200 rushing yards in production, especially with all the issues—not all the issues, but with his health going down later—it's he's the workhorse of that team, and they are an offense primed. Not the Bengals, they are the Seahawks. So it's like, I love him. He's a caballo. He's not scary.
Don't have a problem, especially now. I think DK Metcalf, I think he's going to become Russell Wilson's number one guy. You know, Lockett being, I think, a close number two. But, yeah, that's going to open up their offense big time, and that's going to open up a lot of running lanes for Chris Carson. So I agree with you. I think Chris Carson is going to be a big-time guy for this year. I'd love to have him as my second pick at RB for sure.
Yeah, the one thing that makes me not so worried about his hip fracture is the fact that it healed on its own without surgery. So that makes me a lot more optimistic that when training camp happens in August, late July, August, that he'll be ready to go. Speaking of soft spots in my heart, he was the other running back on the team that helped me win a championship, that won the championship 2 years ago. So it was the Mixon-Carson duo. I like the workload that he's going to get. I'm tempering the enthusiasm because of the free agent talk, but I really think those are guys going to be more change of pace rather than, you know, any kind of work share or anything like that. He's still young enough. I think he's still got a chip on his shoulder. I think it was a 7th round pick. So, you know, he's working to get paid. And, I like those players who are playing with that carrot in front of them to try and get better.
Yep.
Yeah.
So going back to you're talking about the Seahawks. Now we're talking about another bird, the Eagles, Los Aguilas. So
Los Aguilas.
We're talking about at our number 15 pick, Miles Sanders. You know, last year, 818 yards rushing, six TDs. You know, how are we looking at Miles Sanders? What do you think, George, about Miles Sanders this year? What are you, Rick?
Sorry to cut you off, Georgie. To me, he's like the Chupacabra, because I feel like last year he showed real proof every now and then that he could do it. But, I mean, his team is scary. I don't trust Alshon Jeffrey or DeSean Jackson basically keeping him, giving him room to run, you know. And I love Zach Ertz and Goedert, but those guys want to go catch the ball. They don't always want to go block. So I don't see this team opening up for Sanders. If they could, that'd be great. But I just think he's on an offense that's just not there yet. But I think he definitely has the talent.
I like him. I like him more than you, Rick. I watched him closely because I had him on one of my teams, on the Familia team actually, and when he had the backfield to himself, he really took off and he caught the ball out of the backfield. So we all loved that. So I'm a little optimistic. They didn't draft any running backs in last month, so that has me thinking that they believe that this guy could be the guy. I'd keep an eye on the fact that they are also talking to backup running backs, the Carlos Hyde, LeSean McCoy guys, so they might add a body in there who might vulture some carries, but I'm keeping an eye on him because I think Sanders could be a guy that could have, if he has the job to himself for 16 games, he's going to be, we're going to like the numbers. I think we're really going to like the numbers.
Yeah. I mean, if he does have the job to himself, but remember there's another running back there for the Eagles, Boston Scott, that guy, Boston Scott. Yes. Boston Scott, you know, say what you want. You know, he's not on a lot of people's radar, but the guy did come in.
Sounds like a paint company.
Yes. Boston Scott is definitely a guy to keep an eye on to steal carries from Miles Sanders. They're definitely, I think, as they did last year, that, you know, look at Miles Sanders' production. Boston Scott definitely came in there and chewed a little bit of chunk out of Miles Sanders' production. So I think we'll see more of the same. They're going to be a platoon between Sanders and Boston Scott. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out this year.
And I love Georgie. The thing I know you love, Georgie, are those second-year bumps. You always love those guys.
Yep.
But I'm wondering, how do you feel about the one-year guys, the rookies, like our number 16th running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
CEH.
Love him. Love him, love him, love him. I want him. Let me have him, please. Is that a good smokescreen enough? No, I think he's going to run away with this job, and he's going to end up being a top 10 running back this year. I really feel good about him.
So you think you can get him on discount in the league?
No, I don't think he's going to be a discount. I don't think he's going to be a discount. I think there's going to be a big hype train for him in training camp. Even no matter how much he gets, and if he gets no carries in I want to call it spring training, but no, if during exhibition games, that to me will be the clear indication that he's the number one guy. I'm still a little worried about Damian Williams, but I think at a certain point they're going to see that this guy is a really good talent, and they're going to give him the job. I think it's only health that could hold him back.
Yep, and I think one of the things about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's a rookie, and if you go back throughout history, there's always, every league that you've been in, there's always those players that are always going to try to draft that big hotshot rookie running back high. So I'm pretty sure that in our league and in many leagues, CEH is going to go fast. He's going to go early. We saw Ezekiel Elliott when he was a rookie go early. We saw Saquon Barkley go early. I don't see this being any different. I don't see this being any. And those guys in their rookie seasons got picked early and they went bananas. So I don't see this being any different as far as people seeing as Clyde Edwards-Helaire as that guy that could do that, just like Zeke and Saquon. He's going to go early and often, and I may be that guy that picks him early and often.
Well, one guy who won't get picked early, but we all got he's in the habit of picking scary. Him early. Number seven, and he's scary. Very scary. He's very scary. I mean, I don't know what's more scary, his knee or Chupacabra.
I probably Todd Gurley's knee. I'm gonna tell my son how scary Todd Gurley's knee is, just so that he can be, you know, as far as the discipline goes. You need to be a good boy, or else you're gonna end up like Todd Gurley's knee.
And I do still have all that Gurley gear, so I'll still be wearing it, because the Gurley Man Club. I'll still be in the Gurley Man Club, but I'll take him as my flex instead.
But you know, you just got to change the colors. And honestly, I like that he's on the team that he's on. He's on the Falcons. It's a way better quarterback. I love Goff, but come on, it's Matt Ryan. And then you also got Julio Jones over there. So, and Hooper, their tight end, actually showed that he can catch a ball and get some yards.
Yep.
So Gurley definitely has a great team surrounded by him. It's a team that looks like they can definitely make the Super Bowl and lose a 28-point lead or whatever it is. But Gurley's health is insane to know that the Rams would not play Gurley, even though he'd be healthy. It's just like, I don't know. It makes me not want him on my team either.
There's got to be something, you know, you're obviously in the ER, Rick, you know, as far as medical goes, there has to be a reason why in that Super Bowl they didn't play him as much as they should have, or that everyone thought that they should have. That knee is, there's so many questions about it. There's way too many questions about it. It has to be probably a lot worse than what the public knows. So I'm definitely going to pass on Gurley. Even if he's available in the later rounds, I just do not trust that knee.
I mean, the head coach, Dan Quinn, even said that he doesn't know what to expect from his knees. So I heard that on, I think it was Rich Eisen the other day.
Yeah.
You know, he did finish the season healthy, and actually the last five games were the best five games of the season for him. And I think, what was it? He scored 6 touchdowns during those 5 games. The fact that he's on a 1-year deal has me thinking two things: that he's going to go for it to try and get his next contract, and that Atlanta is going to run him into the ground and just send him through there. So hopefully his knee holds up, cause he could be a bargain.
Sure.
La Llorona scared though.
Yes. Grabbing him. Yes, definitely. And one guy that we're probably not too scared about is Raheem Mostert.
No, I'm scared. I'm shaking.
Coming off the Super Bowl showing, San Francisco 49ers, even though they did lose that again, Kyle Shanahan crapped the bed again. But Raheem Mostert, what do you guys think about it? What do you think about him, George?
Oh, let's go Rick. Rick's
ready. Rick's ready.
I just don't like the fact that they still have Tevin Coleman, Jeff Wilson, and also the guy who we're never, ever going to see play a game, Jerick McKinnon, who's like just a name we've always been stashing in our bench.
Yes.
I mean, Mostert, I had him the end of last season. It was probably the best free agent pickup I could do. But come on, he's not going to duplicate it. We all know the Niners are going to suck this year because every Super Bowl losing team besides the Patriots do bad the following year. Raheem Mostert, he's scary. He's scary because it's like they might not even use him as much as they did the end of the season. Just everyone else was tired. So I don't know. I got no confidence in this guy at all.
He's El Cucuy this year?
He's definitely El Cucuy. Like, he's... You better be scared if you hear his name. It's like in a bad way, not like, oh, he's going to get a lot of points. No, get scared because it's like, man, this guy's going to score 3 points for me.
Well, that backfield is definitely scary. And that's the thing that holds me back. I love his running style. I think he's fast. I think he's definitely outperformed being an undrafted free agent. He was phenomenal at the end of the regular season and in that NFC Championship game. I'd love to see him run away with the job, but I worry that there's just too many other bodies, too many other mouths to feed. And that's what I know everybody's calling him must start. Raheem must start. The one thing I did see a note on him that he's been bulking up. He's trying to bulk up a little bit to be able to handle 200 carries. So that, maybe that's going to be good for him. And I love this story, you know, how you know, all the different teams he's been on and teams he's been cut from. But I just worry about that situation. I think there's I think they're just going to go with the hot hand, and he's going to get picked early, and you're going to be sent, you know, and anybody who grabbed him early is going to be like, why did I do that? Why did I do that? So
right.
I think lot of people are going to say that.
One thing that I think back to only because it, you know, it kind of came to top of mind at the end of last season was how the 49ers just went run heavy. You know, everyone was talking about, you know, oh my, why are the Niners running so much? You know, Jimmy G, what's wrong with him? But the Niners towards the end would just run heavy. Well, there was a game, I think, where, you know, they ran it like 14 times in a row or something like that. Where, so I don't know. I don't know how that translates into next year, if they're going to become this run heavy team, if, you know, the coach is losing confidence, you know, in Jimmy G. So we'll see how that works out. Like you guys said, as you know, it's there's a lot of running backs that are back there. And another team that's got, you know, a couple of running backs to think about is the Ravens with Mark Ingram coming in at number 18. He's got J.K. Dobbins back there. I like Mark Ingram. I'm a fan of Mark Ingram ever since he came out of Alabama. Even when he was in a tandem backfield with the Saints, I have no problem. He scored a lot of points. He had a lot of points back there, you know, in a tandem backfield. So I don't have a problem. You guys have any problem with Mark Ingram?
I love him. 18? I wish I could have him on my team. My buddy Adam, he kept killing everybody every week. I think he's consistent. He's a 1,000-yard rusher. I don't think he's as scary. He's not as scary having on my team as much he thinks J.K. Dobbins is scary being on his team.
Oh, yes.
Because the only downfall for him is that J.K. Dobbins is eventually going to start eating carries. When? Who knows? He might not do it. There's also Gus Edwards. But the one thing we got to remember, Mark Ingram's doing his contract year. And honestly, I love those guys. Because they're going to play their hearts out.
Yeah.
Like, it's just what they have to do. So, and Mark Ingram's damn good. Excuse my language. But he's really good. So, I mean, he got 5 rushing or receiving touchdowns last year, which technically was tied for second in the league with, like, 3 other players. But that's more than the top 10 rushers in the entire NFL had. So, I think there's a lot of money that you want to put in Ingram that other people aren't. I don't see why you wouldn't. Rookie and Gus Edwards, to me, aren't a challenge. And this definitely isn't a committee over in Baltimore.
And so, it's a high-powered offense. You're not going to go wrong in a high-powered offense like the Ravens.
Exactly, exactly.
What do you think, George?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a value pick. I think he's going to be a guy you get in the, like, you know, third or fourth round.
He can be the Derrick Henry.
And I don't know if he's going to get 1,500 yards, but I could see him doing exactly what he did last season and just banging away and getting 1,000 yards, and he's your RB2, and you're just thrilled, absolutely thrilled with what you get out of him on a weekly basis. And I love the way he runs. He runs violently, and that inspires me.
These Alabama running backs, him, Derrick Henry, these guys just, like, they kill you. They just run up, they run downhill, they just bowl you over.
And it's something to admire, honestly, when the way they run. It makes me very scared to talk about the next two guys because I think they're both scary. But the next guy I feel like has been running scared, and that's Melvin Gordon. I feel like just lately, last year, he didn't play the whole season. He came back and he played crappy. He even lost a game for the Chargers on the final play by fumbling on the 1-yard line. I'm sorry if you hear that in my voice, how mad I was. But, and he's going to a team that already has an awesome player, fantasy-wise and real life-wise, in Philip Lindsay. So, Melvin Gordon, I don't know. I think this guy's all hype. All hype. What do you guys think?
Go for it, George.
I worry about this one. I worry about this one because I think I'd love to say that both he and Philip Lindsay are going to get 1,000 yards. I don't see it though. I think this is going to be I think he's at this point number 20, tied for number 20 on our rankings on reputation. And I think Philip Lindsay will be a guy who takes just enough value out of him that they're both going to be unstartable. Maybe flex plays, but definitely not even RB2. And, you know, somebody could get hurt. You know, either one of them could get hurt and the other one takes over the job. I worry about the situation.
And it's just hard to bank on injuries. But you're right, George. If that happens, ooh, I would love to have either or, because Philip Lindsay has been phenomenal on
consistent year over year for sure.
But with Melvin Gordon, it's like it's not going to change. And I feel bad for Philip Lindsay because that's how you reward him after how awesome he is. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's the thing that's tough. I don't get it. But you know, I it's not my money to spend. You know, speaking of money spent, and this is a player who was kind of scared away a lot of teams after last year's performance into what he's going to do this year. Le'Veon Bell. By the way, one note that I just came across. Le'Veon Bell is only 2 months older than Raheem Mostert. Wow. So, I mean, you just
really,
it feels like Raheem Mostert is
still don't want either.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: Le'Veon Bell he's in a Sam Darnold offense, and you know Sam Darnold's offense was already bad last year. They lost Robbie Anderson, who I'm a huge fan of. You know, so that the offense, I think, to me, is a down, you know, gets downgraded this year. They added Frank Gore, but you know, that guy's, you know, he's almost, you know, collecting Social Security. You know, he's as good as he's been. Frank Gore is not really going to do much on the Jets offense. Le'Veon Bell, you know, they're going to stack the box against him. Last year, he was scary. He went number 4 overall in our Familia League. My brother took him. My brother Vic took him. He's it's shiny and bright to see Le'Veon Bell's name. You want to take him. He's going to do great things based on what he did in Pittsburgh. But a Big Ben offense is not a Sam Darnold offense. And we saw, you know, Le'Veon Bell's, you know, production shrivel last year, 789 total yards, 4 TDs. It was just, and you know, there was no, I don't think there was any injuries to speak of. So I'm deathly scared of Le'Veon Bell. He's, you know, that nightmare that wakes me up at 3 a.m. if I pick him. But if I do wake up at 3 a.m, it's probably because I'm picking up somebody on the waivers. That's the only reason. Other than that, I'm staying away from Le'Veon Bell.
It's going to be a really, really bad third year for anyone who has Le'Veon Bell in their dynasty league. I hope nobody does. But, I mean, come on. Somebody the guy does. Didn't even play Somebody's 2 years ago. Screwed me almost. Well, no, he did screw me out of a championship. And then last year, just I knew not to get him. But in one league, it was just like, oh, my God, it's the 9th pick overall. He's still there. Why not? And it's like this year, I'm just like, nope, don't want him at all. He, right. If he has a breakout year, good for him. But I don't see it. Even Tomlinson could do good with the Jets under Mark Sanchez or whoever the heck he had. It's like Le'Veon Bell, he's not worth his money yet. And I don't know. I'm giving up on him. I don't even think he gets picked in the 3rd round. I hope he doesn't.
I just wonder if he looks better on I'm not saying your team specifically, but on
paper,
our Familia community out there, you know, on someone's team picking him not as the first running back, but as your second running back or your third running back. Does he look better on your team that way? Are those stats easier to swallow?
It's going to look good if you have like a Christian McCaffrey or right. Barkley and a Le'Veon Bell, because it's like, wow, I have two guys who were all top 3 at one point. But you know what? That's why you got to stop playing with your heart, Georgie.
The one thing about him is he doesn't really have any competition, and they really did upgrade the offensive line. I still don't love Adam Gase as a play caller, so that's what makes me kind of a little a little asustado for that.
Yep.
So but again, I'd take him later. I like the receptions in a PPR league. I wouldn't mind having him on my team because I think he's going to help that way. But there's a lot of guys, probably even more than 20 guys that I'd have ahead of him. So
like one of the scariest players on our list.
Yeah.
He's El Cucuy well, for sure.
He's El Cucuy. Well, when everybody, we hope we didn't give anybody nightmares tonight after you listened to this. So send us a comment and tell us about your scary story with El Cucuy or La Llorona or anything like that. That's it for our show. We're going to have some bonus content next week. We're going to have, I got together with an interview with an old friend of the show, Francisco X Rivera, who is a Spanish commentator for Fox. He does pre and post game shows for the Rams and does tons of other sports. A lot of you have probably heard about him. He's an avid fantasy football player. So we're going to include these here and there. You're going to enjoy the charla. You're going to enjoy it. Yes. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out to the Familia community. And don't forget to follow us, Twitter, Instagram, at FamiliaFFB.com, and find us on the Facebook. So gracias, everybody. And remember,
thank you, everybody.
Yeah, todos somos familia.
Adios. Salud. Amigo.